You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
All right, welcome to Dropping the Gloves. Quick intro. Tyler Ennis is here. I just want to talk to Tyler, so I don't want to do a horsing around interview. Tim's here too. So how you been, man? Long time no see.
I know. I've been good. In Ottawa, back around for the second time. We're in Tampa Bay right now, so it's nice to get some sun, but life is good. How about you?
Not bad. I was actually thinking you don't like sun. Because I was doing a little research and like, gosh, Tyler, the furthest south he's played in the NHL is Buffalo.
I know.
What, isn't that nuts? You've been in the show for how many years now? Over a decade.
Yeah, this is my 13th year. I haven't caught too many sunny cities, but yeah, I know. It's been a while.
Why though? Do you just not care about going south, or just you love the north that much?
No one wants me down here, I guess. No one wants me down here. But, yeah, I know a lot of cold cities.
You're a cold weather guy. Well, I was excited to talk to you. It's always tricky when you talk to guys. You know, listen, I'm a realistic guy. Ottawa, you guys go on hot streaks. You have a couple cold streaks mixed in there. We both played on Buffalo together. We were atrocious.
Right.
Terrible and worse. But then I'm like, okay, box score last night, 8-2. Beat the best team in the NHL. I'm like, Enzo's flying. I checked the box score. I'm looking for points. I'm like, tick, 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 tick. He picked up an assist on the last one there.
I picked up a second assist on the eighth goal. So, yeah, I was happy after the game for sure.
And then I was like, okay, check the box score. He's got one assist, but 8-2, he's got to be at least plus four. The kid was dash one.
Yeah. Yeah, I had my guy. But, yeah, dash one. But, no, 8-2, yeah, it was a great win. So, yeah, like you said, young team, sometimes, you know, you kind of have – your highs are high, your lows are low, and we're trying to even that out a little bit right now. But we're on a nice little run, but we got a lot of ground to catch up.
Yeah, is it weird to be the old guy? We were talking before, you're 32. We had Brady Tkachuk on the show a few months ago.
Yeah.
Is it weird to be like the guy people look to maybe?
It is weird. It's weird. I might be, don't act as old as I should sometimes, but yeah, it's definitely strange. I mean, I remember when I first came in the league, how the older guys were like, you know, time flies, like you really got to enjoy it. And it's really true. You know, it's my 13th year now. And it seems like, you know, snap of a finger, and it's flying by. So it's fun, though. It's fun to, you know, the young guys give you some youth for sure. It's interesting to see how, you know, the generations are different, but, you know, the kids are great. They're, really talented and they got great attitude. So it's a fun team to be on.
Yeah, I bet. We'll touch on the kids in a minute. Did you ever imagine Medicine Hat Tigers 15 years ago, you'd be sitting here talking to Tim and I? You're literally probably one of the top, 32, it's hard to get to 32 years old now in the NHL, to be honest. Like when you look around the league, most guys are 22 and under.
Right.
You're a dying breed. What keeps Tyler Ennis in the NHL right now?
I think, you know, at this point in my career, you have to have someone in your corner. And DJ's been in my corner since I played at Toronto. So he gave me, you know, a chance. And I think you have to be able to adapt. You know, I don't play as much as I used to. I'm in a, you know, bit of a different role. And I think that's important. As you age, you have to be able to, you know, do different things and, you know, grow with the game and let other guys kind of take over. And just enjoy it. You know, I think you have to have a good attitude every day. You have to have fun at the rink, and I have a lot of fun at the rink, and, you know, just really day by day, have fun.
I will say that I've been around, I've been on more teams than you have. You are and were one of the nicest, most enjoyable, funnest guys to be a teammate with. We were only teammates for 2 years, but I still remember. And you were a kid back then. You were like probably 22.
Yeah, I would say probably 20.
23 maybe.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, so, well, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, you were very funny and a great teammate and also very enjoyable to be around. I think we sat beside each other on the plane.
I think we did.
But, yeah, I think that's a huge part of it, though, always having a good attitude, you know. I mean, also, you got to put things in perspective, too. There's still so much that I'm like, you can't take for granted, you know, flying charters and staying in great hotels and eating the food that we eat and, you know, living the lifestyle. Is just it's a blessing. So, you know, I enjoy it for sure. And it's been a fun ride.
So what's it like? You touched on it just a couple seconds ago. You went from being the guy, the top goal scorer on the team, leading the team in goals, making, you know, a lot of do-re-mi. And now you're making league men.
Yeah.
You're still kicking around. Not that that's a terrible thing. Like I lived that life for 10 years. Is it hard mentally to be like, okay, I'm not the guy. I'm like a third, fourth line guy now. And I think
the transition was hard.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of like now I'm like, I'm okay. But it's kind of like the evolution of life a little bit. You know what I mean? Like when it was happening and then I started, you know, playing less and, you know, my role started changing. That's hard because you try to figure out why and you still think that, you know, you should be playing more and in a better role. And, you know, injuries are a factor, but I think when you embrace it, that's when, you know, you end up playing better and you can, you know, extend your career. Longevity is important. And I think the biggest thing for that is, like you're talking about, really just embracing the change when it happens, you know?
So you appreciate me a little more, not paying for dinners as quickly as I used to.
I always appreciate you, Johnny.
Always looking over somebody else to pick up that check. It's tough. There's a couple less zeros in the paycheck, Tyler. You know that.
Yeah, now. I know. I'm a little stingier now than I once was.
So sure. Let's push it back. I like to kind of just all-encompassing career when we talk to guys. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you love the sun. You're in Tampa Bay right now. You want to get out and hit the beach, right? That's what you got planned after this, I'm guessing, you and Brady.
I'll probably get some sun. I try to get as much as I can because there's not a whole lot back in Ottawa. So I get pale really quickly. So I need to get as much sun as I can.
Did you have any tattoos?
No, zero.
You got a couple. I got a couple. Well, one.
I don't know what I want on my body for the rest of my life. Like I can't think of something that I would want. I have nothing against tattoos. I think they're cool. I just don't know what I would get. You know, I don't want to be
the Drew Stafford,
the Canadian flag on my calf. You know what I mean?
I almost got one of those ones when I was like 18. It was like the skin teared off and underneath it's a Canadian flag in there.
Yeah. I like NS on my name bar on my back with like the Hockey Canada logo or something, you know. I can't, yeah. So like I just don't know of anything, you know, cool enough that I would put on, but maybe one day we'll see.
You won a couple golds though at the World Juniors. Why did you guys not want to get matching tattoos? You know, back to like why would you not want to do that?
Yeah, well, that was kind of the trend for a while going on the calf. And I want to take as much focus off my calves as possible. So. yeah, I don't know. It's just it's never been my thing, but maybe one day. You got a few, don't you, Johnny?
Just one big one on my side. It was my wife wrote it on my wedding ring. So it kind of has some sentimental value. Tyler, when you look in the mirror, what's the best part of your body?
Definitely not my face.
Stop it. You're fishing for compliments right now. I know what you're doing.
That's a good question. You know, yeah. I've been doing some core lately. I've been really tightening up my frame. So
was that because the Florida trip was coming up? You knew tarps were off on the beach?
You know what? It's really come down to playing less minutes. I've had to focus on what I'm eating and actually like train a little bit, because like I used to play like quite a few minutes and then I would get away with eating whatever I want. And then I was like, whoa, I'm kind of getting a little loose here. So I had to tighten things up a bit.
Do you get chirped on the ice now that you're like a third, fourth line guy? Does people like rip on you? Hey, Ennis, what happened, you bum?
Not too much, but I have been told to retire a couple times. but not too bad. Not too bad. I'm pretty light out there. You know, I like to chat a little bit. So yeah. I have fun out there.
Who's the best guy you like to just chop it up with? Not chirping. Like, who's the guy who's just fun to chat with on the ice?
I love just kind of mucking it up with Tyson Barrie. He's great out there. He's always got something funny to say. He's always got chirping going. There's a lot of guys up. I like being light. I like being light up, having fun.
Did you play with Tyson in Toronto, then at Edmonton?
No, I played with him at the Worlds 1 year, and then I played with him in Edmonton last year. I missed him in Toronto.
What's it like? You know,
you should try to get him on. He's a funny guy.
I'll have to ask him for your number. Ask you for his number. That's the way you think. It's just word of mouth.
Yeah. You would love him.
So I played with a couple of good players. You obviously, everybody asked who's the most skilled guy. You're top of my list, Tyler.
Oh wow, thank you.
What's it like?
You haven't seen me lately, then.
I've seen you on the ice. I saw that assist last night.
Oh yeah, good point.
Not nothing. Yeah. You should see my highlight reel. It's just full of second assists. It's all I got.
I remember you scored and then you came by the bench. You're like, all right, I'm going home. And then you like faked that you were going to just leave.
I'm not going to ruin this game. This high. Yeah. It's so funny. Okay. What was I talking about? You mentioned I met him at Worlds. You've played on Edmonton and Toronto. You've played with the best players all over the world. You've always managed to find these guys in your team. Is it weird? Like looking over, you're in Toronto and there's Matthews and Marner and Tavares. You're in Edmonton. There is McDavid. Has there been anybody you've been like, holy cow, like that's Jason Pominville when you got called up to the Sabres?
Yeah. Yeah. I think every stage there's been, guys that I remember playing with Timmy Connolly for the first time. And this was when I was really young. So it was like my first training camp. And before that, I used to play a lot of like NHL video games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I loved being Buffalo, and Timmy was like my favorite player to play like on the video game.
Yeah.
And, training camp, after training camp, I was like, oh my God, this guy's so sick. And my buddies like from back home, we're like, hey, how was training camp? Who was the best player? I was like, Timmy Connolly. They're like, really? I was like, yeah, he's exactly like he is in the video game. Like he was just putting pucks through his legs, like toe dragging, like he was nuts. But there's so many guys that are just like you said, Matthews, the first time I skated with him was crazy. Like he's so big and strong. He's got hands like Patty Kane, like shoots it so hard.
And then Patty Coletta.
Yeah, Patty Coletta. He's got hands like Patty Coletta. and then Connor's just absurd. It's not even doesn't even make sense.
So you,
I was known for like being skilled, and then I'm out here like with Connor, and I'm like, what is this? This isn't a human being.
I'll be on the fourth line now.
Yeah. Oh, this is why I'm on the fourth line now. Okay, I get it. Yeah, that's
right. Now I understand what's happening.
Yeah. No, he's not even human. It's nuts.
So you were growing up in Edmonton, a Sabres fan? How does that happen?
No, I was an Oilers fan, but I like playing Sabres for that video game. I like playing them on NHL.
Yeah.
They're fun. But I was an Oilers fan growing up, yeah. So playing for Edmonton was so cool.
Then you get drafted by the Sabres out of Medicine Hat.
Yeah.
What was that like? Did you know you're going first round? Because you're almost second round.
Yeah, I was all over the place. I didn't really want to go to the draft because I was kind of ranked like in and out.
Yeah.
The draft was in Ottawa. And I was like, oh, I'll just stay home. And my parents were like, you got to go. Like, what if you go in the first round? Like, how cool would that be? I was like, yeah, that makes sense. So we went, and I got picked 26 to Buffalo, and I was just so happy. I was like, because I was ranked, you know, kind of all over the map. I was small, you know. So I was a huge thrill just to go on stage and, you know, be a first round pick was like a dream come true.
You played in the Zoo. You played in the Dub. You didn't, your first year wasn't a great team. You kind of stepped into the Medicine Hat. You guys were average. I'll be, you know, nice to you guys. Was it hard playing in that division? Cause I was out in Ontario. I tried out for the O. I kind of didn't make the jump. The West is known as the Zoo because there's fights. It's tough Western boys. It's a different league than the O than the Q. Was it tough? Especially it 20 tough. Years ago, a guy your size.
It was tough. It was fun though. We had a good crew, but, Junior was so funny. Like there's so many just wild animals, but it definitely was tough. We had like back then, did you play with Derek Dorsett? Did you play with
Derek? Oh,
yeah. You fought
Dorsett. I fought Derek, yeah.
Dors is a wild man. Like he's a crazy, crazy human being. And he was like, you know, our heartbeat of our team. And he was just like, he would fight every game. Like if you didn't, you know, play with as much intensity that he did, he would hold you accountable. And I was like, it was kind of eye-opening to go from, you know, your minor systems in Edmonton, you know, where it's really just like your community team to the Dub, where you have like, you know, older guys that are just, you know, throwing bombs, just like really being intense. And but yeah, it was fun though. I mean, it really was. It was intimidating, but like in a good way, you know?
Yeah. Do you think you got overlooked a little bit because you like, how tall are you? What are you? 5'6"?
I'm 6'2". I'm 6'2", 215.
That's the thing. If you were 6'2", 215, you're a top two pick.
I mean, maybe, but, I'm 5'9". We'll go with 5'9". And back then I was even smaller. And I've always been small though. It's not like I have had to learn how to play small. I've always been small. So I had to learn. I've been learning since I was young, which I think was beneficial. You know, there's always those guys that grow a little bit when they're younger and then maybe they're not as big as they, you know, once were, and then they have a tough time adapting. I think it was beneficial to me to be small my whole life.
So I mentioned you got the World Juniors. You played with some pretty legit guys, you know, Tavares, PK, Evander, Peter Angelo. I didn't play internationally. I was always torn whether I wanted to play or not. What was that like? Was that a validation for you? Like, listen, I belong here. You had a pretty good tournament. Did that feel how was that like?
Making the World Juniors was a dream come true. I mean, I watched it like every other Canadian growing up every Christmas. So that was a huge goal of mine. Winning. We won in Ottawa. Yeah.
In Ottawa? You in Ottawa, man. I tell you what.
I know. my draft was in Ottawa, too. I said Ottawa. I've just been connected so much here. That was the year where Eberle scored with like 5 seconds left to tie it against the Russians, which was wild. That was, it was awesome. It was a great, great experience, gold medal, the whole thing. So, dream come true.
So you finish up juniors, you're picked first round, you go to the AHL Portland Pirates, you run into Nathan Gerby. Were you trying to follow in Gerb's footsteps, a short guy? He won AHL Player of the Year. You're coming in, you're like, oh man, this guy knows what he's doing. Or did you just see Nathan Gerby like the piece of trash he is? And you're like, I want nothing to, because Gerb's been on the show and he was effing and jeffing the whole time. I'm like, Nathan, calm it down a little bit. What was that dynamic like between you and Nathan?
I was always just like a fan of his.
Liar.
No, I respected what he did. Like, cause he was like, dominant in college, small guy, and like us small guys have a little fraternity. You stick together, you're cheer for each other. So he was on Portland Pirates with me, and he was sick, like so good.
Yeah,
we played together a lot. He was, I mean, really creative, like talented, fun to play with, and yeah, really, really, really good player. But I felt like he in Buffalo, he kind of got shortchanged a little bit. Like he didn't get the opportunity that I got. I got more of an opportunity, you know, with power play and stuff. And yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think probably because I was a first round pick. I think I probably got more of an opportunity than he did. He was the rookie of the year in the AHL before I got there. You know, things could have been for sure different for Nathan, but you know, he had a great career, and he adapted to when maybe he had to. It's just that it was a little earlier than, you know, when I had to. But I think in a different scenario, he could have had a different role because
his talent was crazy. Oh, he had he still does have unbelievable skills. I always thought he had a little chip on his shoulder where he could have maybe had a little better. And I told him this, as you kind of complained a little bit, you know, being on the fourth line, because I used to see him a lot in Buffalo. I'm like, Gerbs, like, don't be so upset. Like, you're in the NHL, man. But yeah, he didn't like you because he wanted to be you, Tyler. He hated you.
No, he did.
He did.
I love Nate, and his dad's a great guy. You know, he's such a hard worker, but he definitely has a chip on his shoulder. But that's what made him Nathan. You know,
he
chip on his shoulder that got him as far as it did. Is he out in Traverse with you?
No, he moved out of here. We didn't really hit it off, and he left. He's like, I'm out of here. So he moved back to the Upper Michigan.
Oh, really?
He did.
He was building the place out there. So
he built it, and then he left. Okay. So, you know, what are you gonna do? We just didn't see eye to eye. Boom, boom.
So you guys actually have a little bit of beef. I remember that picture of you guys in the dressing room.
Yeah,
that is a legendary photo. Do you have that? It's literally like the size gap, outrageous.
Well, because there was one where I was on my knees, and we were like seeing eye to eye.
So hang on, is there? There's not actually beef between.
No, I love Nathan. I'm just teasing. No, he's a good dude. But I am, in all honesty, I think he could have had a better attitude at Buffalo. He might have served them better, where he thought he deserved a little more than I think he actually did. But I don't know. That's a whole other show for another time. You mentioned chip on your shoulders. This is a Hockey Fights podcast. We're partners with HockeyFights.com. You probably know the website. You go there all the time.
Oh yeah, I've been on there one time.
That's what I was going to bring up. You've had one career NHL fight, and it started off because you just got absolutely farmer tossed in front of the net by Ian Cole, just like pigeon tossed, and you get up. What? I was on that team when I was a healthy scratch. What is going through your head?
I could have used you there. I could have used you there. Johnny,
what was your game plan going in there? Steen grabbed you. What's your game
plan? I was like, I don't know what I was doing. I got just blown up, and then I remember I looked at the ref, and I was like, is there a penalty there? And he nothing, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not happy, so I'm just gonna go do something, and then it traded like a huge scrum, and. I got pulled out of the pile, which I don't blame anyone for pulling me out of the pile because that's what happens in piles.
Yeah.
And then Alex Steen broke my nose. And I've been dealing with a deviated septum ever since.
You haven't gotten that fixed yet?
No, I should get that done. I might get the guy to trim it up a bit too. They got a little beef on here, but
I got the same thing. I got mine fixed. And then I just broke it again. But
really?
you breathe so much better when you get it done.
Oh, yeah. I can't breathe on the one side. But, so then I kind of learned my lesson. Like, hey, maybe don't go flying into a pile like you don't know what you're doing. So I tell like some guys now, I'm like, hey, if you're not like actually know what you're doing in a fight, like maybe don't be an idiot, you know, because like you could get beat up. And that's what happened to me.
So speaking of, oh, go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, we'll use that for the more you know with Tyler.
Yeah. I came back in the game. I got those two nose things in my nose. I look like a complete idiot. Like, yeah, it's just not worth it. Wasn't worth it at all.
So speaking of Buffalo, John's talked about the team quite a bit, just like some tough years, a lot of losses. How did you like, when you look back, how did you stay positive? How do you stay focused? How do those boys kind of bring it every night when you know that you're probably going to lose?
In Buffalo, that was hard because like they were so clearly trying to get, you know, the first pick that Nick it was David. Like, right. So they wanted to lose, or, you know, it was just weird. You know, it was kind of that first experience where you realize that it's a business, and that at that point winning wasn't important. So like, what time in your life have you ever been on a team or been in a situation where you're not trying to win a game? You know?
I knew we were in trouble. I don't want to interject, but I will. When I came to the locker room, when I was third line left wing, I was like, oh, me, Pat Kolecnik, and Cody McCormick are third line now. Okay. I see where this is going.
I don't know, Johnny, what did you think of that scenario? Like how, like it's just hard. Like what you just kind of feel like, you know, what's the point here? Right. Like it's 82 games, you know, and the goal is to get the first pick.
We pulled the shoot early too. We traded all our good players early. I think after like 20 games, and the chatter of us being like the lowest scoring team of all time, like it was embarrassing, but I think we had a decent group with you and Steve Ott and myself, and we had enough guys to kind of really just not make it unbearable where you wanted to just like blow your brains out every time you went to the rink. But that's, it was brutal.
Like, you still have to play. So like, there's no other choice but to at least try to make it, you know, manageable, try to make it, you know, fun. Cause otherwise, you know, you're just going to be just depressed. You know, you're going to be pulling your hair out every day. So
well, at least we didn't have three different coaches that year and two different presidents and three different GMs. Oh, I know we did. We were going through management like it was going out of style. Patty LaFontaine was in there for like a cup of coffee and he was gone.
I know.
It was a disaster.
Didn't you have like six or seven starting goalies too? Didn't they trade all the goalies?
Yeah, we did. We had a ton of goalies. It was just really weird.
I remember Euro Halak got traded to us, and he sat down
for like a day.
I'm like, so where are you going to look? He's like, I'll be gone tomorrow. And that was it. He literally was gone the next day. And I was like, cool. Nice meeting you.
I remember that. I think we were in Dallas. He got traded there. We're sitting in the little change room talking to him, and same thing. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be gone tomorrow. And he was. All right.
See, yeah, he was too good for the team.
Yeah. So we were like, too good. Yarrow, great teammate.
Love the guy.
Yeah, great guy.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, you get traded from Buffalo. Was that a surprise? You spent your first 8 years there. You had a lot of success. You signed a big ticket. You know, you were invested in the team. Then you get dealt with Moose to Minnesota. Yeah. What was that like being traded?
It was exciting because, I was going to Minnesota with Moose, for one, who was one of my best friends. And then Jared Spurgeon is my actual best friend. So we grew up together and, you know, our families are super close. So the chances that I would, we always wanted to play together. And the first team I got traded to is his team. So it was like, wow, that's a dream come true. Obviously, it was sad because I was very invested in Buffalo. I was there for 8 years. It's the only team I ever knew, a team that drafted me. You know, I was, you know, invested in the community, had some charity stuff going on. Like, I just felt like I was my town. You know, I felt like I loved Buffalo, you know, Bills fan, a lot of friends there. So getting traded was, it was bittersweet. Because I kind of knew that it was going to happen a little bit. They had changed the GM. They'd changed the coach. and I wasn't playing well. I was coming off two injuries. I was making, you know, $4 million and I wasn't producing. So it was, something had to change. So sad to leave Buffalo, excited to go to Minnesota and play with Spurge. So that's kind of how it went.
Yeah, Minnesota didn't last long. 1 year. You had a good year. You know, would you get to 20, 30 points? Like, not terrible.
No, it was a nightmare. It was horrible. I had 22 points, I think. I had 8 goals, and it was just a horrible, horrible experience. It's so funny how that is. Like, you think nothing's ever what you expect it to be. You know, you might as well just have zero expectations of everything and just let it happen. I was so stoked. I thought it was literally a dream come true. It turned out to be a nightmare scenario.
Why was it a nightmare? Just because you didn't like Zach Parise? Just come on.
No, Bruce hated me. Bruce hated me, and it just didn't work. We didn't see eye to eye. It was a tough year, but the locker room was a little bit off. You know, the locker room was a little bit weird. But the team was good. Like, I think we had over 100 points that year, and you know, our division was really tough. We lost to Winnipeg, just a tough go. I mean, but it happens. That happens. Everyone has very few people have smooth rides. You know what I mean? It's not just there's tough goes everywhere. And you know, since I left Minnesota, I've been happy with you know, my situations. I've been you know, more at peace with where I'm at. You know, in hockey and stuff like that. But
They bought you out, which isn't ever fun, but it gave you the opportunity to be a free agent. First time ever.
Yeah.
Dipping the toe in the free agency. What was that like? Were you just getting contracts thrown at you like crazy? What was the like sifting through all those deals?
Yeah, I was bought out, and then I didn't really know. I'd never been a free agent. I didn't know what was going on at that point. I'm like, everyone thinks I suck now, but, so I was in Phoenix with my buddies and we were hanging out, and it was July 1st and I just figured nothing was going to happen. But my agent started calling me up. You get this team. And I'm like, oh shit. I didn't know we were.
Heads up.
So we were trying to figure out what fit well. And we settled on Toronto, and it was cool. Toronto was a very cool experience. Like, you know, it's the kind of the Mecca, and everybody knows hockey there. You know, there's just a lot of focus on the Leafs there, but the team was just a great quality group of guys. You know,
did you pick them? You picked them to win the cup, right? That's why you probably had bigger offers from teams that maybe weren't as cup ready.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember. I think there's a few teams. Columbus was one of the teams, but everything was happening so quickly that it was like, I didn't make a decision now, like it was off the table. So we were just trying to figure it out. And I was like, hey, I got to think about this for a little bit. Like, I don't know yet. I got to look at the lineup and I got to do this, that. But Toronto was, they had a lot of offense, you know, fun style. So I think it was a good fit. Like, it was fun. I really enjoyed my year in Toronto. I mean, I got hurt, but I had a lot of fun there, and it was obviously disappointing losing in 7 to Boston. But it was a fun year. I think it was a good choice.
When you're doing that free agency, like you said, I don't think people understand that. You literally have a few hours. The GM's going to offer you that contract. If you don't take it, they have to move on quick.
Yeah.
How do you make, like, do you talk to Dubas?
And then, like, I did talk to him. Yeah. I talked to him on the phone. Yeah. I talked to him on the phone, and he's a great guy. Yeah. And, you know, he was, you know, very respectful and, you know, straightforward. And, you know, it was, he told me what was going on. Like, he didn't promise me anything. Like, there's a lot of, Toronto always has a lot of guys kind of on minimums that have to like basically make the team or they'll be with the Marlies. You know, so I talked to Babcock too, they said the same thing, you know, and it ended up being a good fit. It was fun. You know, I enjoyed my time there. And then went to Ottawa with DJ when he got the job there.
And then you kind of have a little cup of coffee in Ottawa, then you go right to Edmonton.
It traded to Edmonton at the deadline. And that was a dream come true too, because I got to play for my hometown team, you know.
Just so dream come true, Tyler Ennis. Like, that's the tattoo I think we're gonna agree upon. Dreams do come true, and an arrow pointing right up to your face.
There you go. Yeah. So that was so cool. My parents and my family was so excited. And I was excited, and then COVID hit, which sucked, because, you know, we were playing really well. Then it got shut down. We had to go into quarantine and then the playoffs happened with the bubble and all that stuff, and just was weird. I played like 10 games before COVID hit, and it was cool. I was so happy, you know, to play for the Oilers, wear the jersey, play in the rink. Like, it was just cool. Cause I used to go to the games a little bit when I was a kid, and
yeah,
it was just kind of a pinch me scenario, you know, putting the jersey on.
Well, I was born in Edmonton too, Tyler. So I know, I get it.
Right. I remember that.
Well, then what's wrong in Toronto and Edmonton? Why can't they win? Why can't they do any damage in the playoffs? You've been on both teams. What's the issue?
I mean, it's hard to win. I mean, if I knew, I haven't been out of the first round yet, so I can't figure it out myself either. But
maybe it's you. You're the problem,
Tyler. I think it's me, actually. Yeah, definitely me. I don't know. I just think it's so hard. I think they've ran into Boston a lot, and Boston's a team that, you know, has been through it. You know, I think you have to beat through it. Look, Tampa went through it. They got swept. They win. I think you have to have your calluses built up. I think you have to learn. You really have to learn. And I think that's key. I think it's one thing to say that you're learning or that you're learning, but it's a different feeling. Like, you have to know.
Do it, yeah.
That, you know, you can't turn the puck over at this time, or, you know, you have to, you know, win a certain way. And it's kind of cliche that everyone says, but it's the truth. That's what wins in playoffs. And they'll get there. I think both teams are going to get there.
Who's going to get there first? We have a running bet going. Who's winning the first cup, Toronto or Edmonton or Ottawa? Oh,
hopefully Ottawa.
Yeah,
hopefully,
baby.
Yes. I don't know. I can't say. I can't. Yeah. I don't know.
You don't have to say.
Hopefully, I win before they do. But I'll cheer for both of those guys whenever I'm done playing. I hope that you know, both of those teams can have success whenever I'm done playing. But for now, we gotta go.
Good answer.
Kind of keep growing here as a Ottawa group, and this team, this Ottawa group, it's a really good group. Like, they're young, they're growing, they're building, but it's a good team, and it's a really good bunch of guys, care about each other, you know, learning, playing hard. So it's fun. I don't know. What do you think? Who's your favorite to win this year?
Oh, I don't care.
Said Minnesota, right?
I did say Minnesota.
Minnie.
I like Minnie. Moose is having he's having a heck of a year.
Moose is a great player.
He's having a great year.
He's just like getting better and better.
Yeah, and speaking of having a great year, you're having a pretty good year. 12 points, 24 games, kind of re-energized.
I can't score anymore, but yeah. I can't score, but
you got one goal.
I'm getting second assists. I had a breakaway yesterday and I flipped the puck into the goalie's chest, so second assist. I'm the king of the second assist these days.
Does it say at the end of the year when you're negotiating contracts, second assist, or does it just say assist?
Right, just says assist.
If you're a fourth line guy, Tyler, who can get 12 points in 24 games, you're gonna be okay.
No, thanks. No, I'm trying to play hard. I'm trying to play, you know, structurally sound and you know, play the right way. And you know, you do get results that way too. You don't have to cheat for offense every shift to get points. I've realized late in my career, but no, it's been a good year so far. We just got to keep it rolling.
How's the young kids in Ottawa? How are they compared to you? Played lit dynamic duos, Marner, Matthews, McDavid, Dreisaitl. How is Batherson, Tkachuk, and Stützle compared to those guys?
They're sick. I love the balance that they have too. Like Chuck, he's just like competitive, plays hard, but he's got skill too. Like, but he's a workhorse. He finishes his hits. He's big. And then Batherson's just like, you know, runs the PP, so smart. You know, he's got tons of skill, can score and pass. Norris is just like, he's so good on that flank. Ripping one-timers. He's a great two-way centerman too. There's just a lot of balance. Timmy's got a lot of skill. You know, Shabbat just logs minutes and he's so good. There's just a lot of upside. You know,
yeah.
So it's a good core to grow and just keep growing together because they're close too. They're tight knit, you know, crew. So it should be fun to watch as an Ottawa Senator fan here in the next few years.
Would you like to finish up your career there? You're 32, maybe sign a nice 3-year ticket.
Yeah, 3 years. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just living day by day here. I love. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I've got a lot of Ottawa connections. It seems so. Who knows? But I like it. I love the role I'm in here. You know, we'll see what happens. I'm just kind of going day by day, you know, year by year at this point. So we'll
life
see
of a fourth liner. That's it's just beautiful that you've embraced it.
Nice. So, yeah. One question I like asking, like guys who played with John, is to give our listeners a John Scott story. If someone were to ask you, tell us what John's like. Now, keeping in mind that it's a family friendly show.
Well, I never did anything non family friendly. That's not an issue.
That's a good point. Yeah. What do you think?
Okay. Well, this one's not flattering, but it's funny. Do you remember Johnny the time when Teddy put you on D for that one practice? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
and then you missed a few passes or whatever, and he snapped and he just kicked you right off the ice.
Yeah, I think I might have broke my stick over the bench on the way out.
Yeah, Teddy kicked off Johnny one practice like 5 minutes in the practice and said, "Okay, you're done." And Johnny just broke his stick over the boards and that was the last we saw of Johnny that practice.
We might have had a little Indian rubber match in his office.
Did it boil over to the office?
Yeah, we had a little chat because I was embarrassed. I was embarrassing myself. And you know, it's not like I was a rookie. I was like 5-6 years deep and he throws me on the back end. I'm like, what are you doing, Teddy? Like I was pissed because I'm not playing tomorrow. I'm obviously out of the lineup. It was not great.
That's what I'm saying. Like that year where everything is like, it's so tough. Like to just get through those situations where you're, you know, trying to lose games and you're going to the rink every day and you're practicing. It's like, it's just tough.
Ville Leino's covered in paint coming into the rink. It just doesn't care at all. And I'm just like busting my hump playing defense. I'm like, come on, Teddy. He's not even mentally here. He's checked out. Working on his Billy Baino guard that I used to bring.
How long have you been done now for?
2016. Did you remember? I made the All-Star game my last year.
Oh, yeah. Did I remember that? That was incredible. I thought they're doing a movie on that or something.
They are. It's in the works. Disney bought the rights, so it's very exciting. But I won the MVP of that game, so it's...
I know you did. That was so sick.
Who are the only two players in NHL history to win an All-Star game MVP and then retire the next year?
Did you retire after that?
Well, forced.
That was actually so sick though. Like what you had, like, you had like a couple goals, assists, like you were, where was it?
It was in Nashville. It was a good time.
That's sick, dude. So they're making the movie on it.
They are. They are.
That you was fun. You did a book and stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, the book doesn't make any money. It was useless. Never write a book. It's a waste of time.
How are you? I can't write or read, so I'm good. How's life after hockey? Are you you happy or what? Is everything good?
I'm miserable.
Do you miss it or no?
You know, I miss this, shooting the breeze with the boys in the plane. That's what I miss the most. I don't miss playing at all, to be honest with you. Yeah. I miss this, just shooting the breeze. That's what I really, because I got six daughters and my wife. Like, I just,
sheesh.
It's just daughters. a lot of women.
Are you pushing for a boy and then you just can't hit it, or what's going on there?
I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm doing it wrong. I honestly don't know what's happening, but no, my girls are great. But no, life is good. I think you got to figure out what you're going to do after hockey before you get thrown into after hockey. That's the key. You know, I had kids to focus on, and then I had the All-Star game where I could go do TV shows and appearances and stuff. So that saved me. So
you ever think of doing any TV stuff or no?
I did a couple episodes of a couple different shows. I went out to California for a few weeks. I didn't really like it. I was almost on Letterkenny.
You were a movie star guy for a little bit?
Yeah. You ever watch Letterkenny?
I've seen it a couple times. Our old coach in Edmonton, Jimmy Playfair's kids on that.
That's right. They asked me to be on that show. My wife kiboshed it. But you get Mr. D wanted me to be on his show, but then you got to go out and do it.
But no broadcasting stuff?
Well, that's why I'm doing this. I could have worked for TSN or Sportsnet potentially, but it just didn't.
The podcasting stuff.
I didn't want to move to Toronto. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be in Traverse City. You've been to Traverse probably. I just wanted to be here. So
I have actually not been to Traverse, but I heard it's Gerbs told me it's so nice. He showed me. That's why I'm surprised he's gone. He showed me some pictures of a place he built, and then the next thing you know, he's gone. But
his place was really nice. Yeah. But I'm all right. Well, I don't want to keep any longer, Enzo. This was great, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to see you. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. I'll shoot me your number after this. So we'll stay in touch. I'll pick your brain about Barry's number. We'll get him on the show.
Yeah, he's a riot.
Not as good as you.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm fine.
You're okay. We'll go out get some sun. Come on.
I'm going. Yeah, I'm heading out now.
Who's the guys you go out with? When you're going to, like, let's go grab dinner. Who are you texting first?
Me and Tierney went for dinner last.
Tierney's. I know Tierney's fairly well.
Yeah. And we're going out for dinner again tonight. But this is a tight crew. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, we all get along. So it's nice. Really anybody.
Who picks up the tab? Anybody?
Tierney's picked up the last one. Maybe I'll pick up this one tonight. Maybe go to you got any good spots in Tampa you recommend?
Cheesecake Factory. It's not bad.
Yeah,
if you're picking up the tab, yeah.
I'll pick up that tab. But yeah, Tierney's, Connor Brown, Batherson, everybody, anybody. Yeah, they're all cool, good guys. Man. Yeah, it's good.
All right, Enzo, man. Well, listen, go have some fun. Good luck the rest of the way. Keep killing it, man. You're doing great. It's good to see your face.
I appreciate it. It's good to see you too. And I'm glad everything's going well with this and the fam. And good luck with the six daughters.
I'll let you know if we have another one. All right, everybody. Tyler Ennis, everybody, forward for the Ottawa Senators. Maybe first line forward next game. We'll see. After that second assist, it was a big one.
Yeah. Thanks, Johnny. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Have a good day. Well, cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.